I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trey Johnson, who is a potential top five pick, Texas guard, he openly said the Celtics interviewed him. He said it on my podcast, and an interview will air probably next week. I have multiple sources telling me the Celtics also interviewed Cooper Flagg. Now, this does not mean they're going to trade up into the top 10, but I do think it's interesting, at least, the way it works at the draft combine. Teams can interview up to 13 players, and they rank the players that they most want to interview. This would mean that they had Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, guys like that ranked high to get the opportunity to interview them. And the Trey Johnson one in particular is interesting to me because, hey, like, he's one of the best shooters in the draft. He's going to go somewhere in like the 4 to 9 range. If Boston were to really retool this offseason, you know, Al Horford's going to be a free agent. Kristaps Porzingis is old. Drew Holiday is old. And Jaylen Brown's value may be as high as it has ever been. I just think it's interesting the Celtics have made it a point to interview these guys.
All right, let's introduce this. Kevin O'Connor on the Kevin O'Connor Show, his podcast, discussing that the Celtics met with Trey Johnson, guard out of Texas, projected to go certainly lottery top 10, I think.
Yep.
I haven't followed it as close, just given where the Celtics are drafting. And then Cooper Flagg, the presumed number one pick in the draft. They met with both at the combine. And if you heard in his answer, which I didn't know this is how it worked, I'm like, oh, well, they met with him, big deal. You only get 13 meetings at the combine. Seems very random.
13.
You get 13.
That is
and
odd.
You rank them in order of who you want to talk to the most. And
it
then
used to be how many lottery teams there were.
No, that's what I was wondering if it was 14. That as well.
Yes, I don't get it.
But so you rank them in order of who you want to talk to the most. So basically, to land someone like Flagg or Johnson, they have to be very high on your interview list, which means the Celtics put a big priority on meeting with these guys. Now, why? Could you say they just want to get to know a guy they could be going against? I know you would hear that sometimes with Bill and different draft prospects the Patriots would bring in. I don't know. Let's take it at face value. They're meeting with Cooper Flagg. Do they have something big up their sleeve? I know a lot of callers have suggested it ever since Tatum went down.
Oh, yeah. People are all over this.
I don't think they're going to do it. But I think, and when I say I don't think they're going to do it, I don't think Dallas is going to move the pick.
Yeah.
But it's interesting the Celtics met with him, and maybe they have something big up their sleeve.
Well, first of all, I don't think we can rule out Dallas trading the number one pick. Dallas traded Luka Doncic.
Sure.
Which to me was one of the most untradeable players in sports. We even did our list. Remember, like, untradeable guys. I had him on the list. Clearly, he was tradable in the case of Nico Harrison. So they're saying right now they're not going to trade it, but I wouldn't completely shut the door on it. The NBA offseason is always fantastic. There's always crazy things that happen. Players switching teams, star players all the time.
And now that you say it, we've thought Jalen and Kyrie were going to play together before.
Uh-huh. So let's just play this out for a second. I don't think either one necessarily will do. I wouldn't bet on either one of these things happening. But Jaylen Brown for the number one pick, does that at least get a conversation?
I don't believe so, but maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
It shouldn't. But
maybe
I would
Kyrie's really running the show there, Keith.
Right,
and
right.
And look, I mean, Kyrie worked with Nico Harrison when they were both together at Nike, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kyrie's lost that shoe deal long since, but maybe Kyrie's really pulling the strings there for all I know. I have no idea. But if I'm Nico Harrison, I just fell ass backwards, maybe winking and not agreeing with the whole time.
Yeah, I would say that was in the works.
But I have the number one pick in the draft. This is like my redo, my get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
No chance I would trade the pick. But I don't know. If he's not really running the show and Kyrie is, well, then maybe Kyrie pulls the strings and says, I want to try to win with Jaylen and me. AD and Jaylen, we could go compete for a title, maybe.
Well, I just think, to me, it was one of the worst moves ever last year, trading Luka away and bringing in Davis. So what you did was you shortened your window. Like, Luka's young, just made the NBA Finals, and then you're like, no, we're going to go after a guy who's more injury-prone and older and pair him with our guy who's also older, and so we really have, like, a two-year run at it. And windows can be scary because we thought the Celtics were going to have a much bigger window.
Yep.
And you see what happens. But just for next season, would Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, AD have a better chance of winning the title than Kyrie, AD, and Flag?
100%.
So if that's their mindset, they might consider it. They really shouldn't. I also think Flag is going to be one of these rookies that is really impactful as a rookie. Like, I don't think you're going to have to wait very long for him to be really, really good. So maybe that's where the conversation ends. But if they're interviewing him, I think there's got to be some teams out there that are thinking, maybe there's something crazy. Because specifically the team that Dallas has, because they have Kyrie and Anthony Davis, they're not – year five of Cooper Flag, he's not going to be playing with those two guys. But if you got Giannis, or if you got Jaylen Brown, or if you got Devin Booker, like, for the next 3 years, you'd be a championship contender.
So I don't think Dallas would do it. I understand the argument you're making. I don't think Dallas would do it. But if Dallas called up Boston and said, we'll give you the number one pick, we want Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
The Celtics have to do that, don't they?
Yeah. Because Tatum's hurt. I think if Tatum wasn't hurt, I would probably wouldn't do it. Because we've spent 8 years trading Jaylen Brown away, and then they win a title. And
yeah, I mean, we might as well do it one more time.
I've come off of that. Like, I'm not trading Jaylen Brown, but I think in that scenario, maybe you would, because Jason Tatum, we hope, is back in 2 years, but what does that even look like? Are we talking a little bit further for him to be, like, all-NBA caliber Jason Tatum? That might be one that you would have to do. But at the end of the day, I don't think either team is doing that.
Why are they meeting with him?
Good question.
I mean, they have to have real... The only answer is they have to have real interest. Nothing else really makes sense. They have to have real interest.
Yeah. And maybe they think the way that that I do, and it's like, well, if Nico Harrison trades Luka, he might trade the number one pick.
You know, so what? Good point. Just like, anything's possible with this stupid right. team. Let's meet with the guy just in case.
And if he really puts the number one pick out there, there's going to be everybody calling. It's like, why can't we call? At that point, why can't we call? And even if we don't want to trade Jaylen Brown, I mean, you certainly wouldn't get him then, but, like, maybe you put together a different package.
Here's the other piece. It's like, okay, so Dallas wouldn't do it for Cooper Flagg, I don't think. All right, well, where's Trey Johnson going, and who are they talking to in that range? Like, are you talking to, I don't know the draft order off the top of my head, are you talking to, like, the number five pick? Like, the fact they met with both these guys tells me this is real interest. It's not just, hey, look, we're picking 28. Let's use one of our interviews. I'd say waste, but use one of our interviews to interview a guy that grew up in New England and get a feel for him. And, like, let's just do that. Maybe he's not the only high profile draft prospect they met with.
No. So just to play this out, I think it's kind of interesting the way the ping pong balls fell, and definitely not it being rigged. Dallas, San Antonio, Philly are the top three picks.
Uh-huh.
All three of those teams, I think, could convince themselves they could be really good with one extra player. Philly, they're just dumb, and, like, I don't know, with the Embiid thing. But, like, they don't feel like we're so far away. Obviously, Dallas isn't. And then San Antonio, if you pair up a really good player with Wembanyama, like, maybe they would be something. After that, it's sort of just crap teams that wouldn't want, like, a Jrue Holiday. They wouldn't want a Jaylen Brown, like Charlotte, Utah, Washington. I don't see that happening.
No.
Houston picks 10. Like, would Ime Udoka want somebody from this Celtics team or something along those lines? Maybe Trey Johnson falls as low as 10.
So Trey Johnson's at 10. Jaylen Brown for the 10th pick?
That you would need to get way more.
Say, that doesn't feel like enough.
No, I wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for the second pick. I think it really falls off after Flag. I know everybody loves those Rutgers guys, but you know me. They didn't make the tournament. I'd be a little worried about two guys.
I was going to say, Keith,
two players in the top three, and they don't make the tournament together.
You didn't love it about Fultz. Who else was another? Was it Ben Simmons?
Fultz, Simmons. Simmons happened first, right? And then that's where it became, like, a real red flag. And then Fultz, and there's another one after
Rutgers has two of them, and they didn't make the tournament. That's even worse.
How's that
happen? It's not just one guy. Right. One guy should be able to drag his team to the tournament. So as many teams as make it, they had two.
They had two.
Not
so
great.
That's why, and they might go in some order with Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. So if those guys... Because I could see San Antonio and Philly both looking to trade those picks. And then
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody being happy with those guys, sort of a young rebuild team and go.
So look, I've been very dismissive of the idea that they could trade Jaylen for the number one overall pick and draft Cooper Flagg. They met with him. I didn't see that coming. What do you think's going on? Why are they meeting with him? And would you do that move? You can weigh. Weigh in, rather. 617-779-7937.
Real quick.
Yes.
How long do you think it'll take Cooper Flagg to be...
an all-star?
Yeah, like in his prime. Or yeah, let's just say that's a good one. An all-star.
Year three?
Okay.
Maybe earlier?
All right, no. Yeah, I think year three's safe, and that's still like pretty good, right? Because he's super young. Like, he's really like a high school senior age-wise.
Yeah, and
so
the reason,
super young.
The reason I would put a lot of stock in it is, again, he was... the videos of him against Team USA were incredible.
He's nasty.
Incredible.
No, I think he's great. I'm with all the textures. Like, he's incredible. But year three for him, Anthony Davis will be 35 and Kyrie will be 36. And I don't think they're getting healthier either. So, like, if you're truly maximizing those guys, which is what Nico Harrison did by trading away Luka Doncic,
look,
like, I think it's at least a possibility that they do something equally as dumb and trade the number one pick.
Well, and maybe the Celtics think that too, and that's why they're meeting with him. Let's go to the phones. Bob is in Western Mass. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, you ever hear when the Celtics, when they interview them or Mazzulla, he's always talking about winning the margins?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So here's the problem with winning the margins. That does you no good when you lose everything in between the margins. And that team, I thought they were learning their lesson, you know, in the first round against, you know, a very physical team. But then they went back to their same old identity, which is blowing 20-point leads and not calling timeouts.
Yeah, so I don't love the way Mazzulla talks after some of these games, discussing the margins and the three-point opportunities and all that. Like, I don't love that. But he does remind me that we were talking about the Orlando series because the Celtics had to win differently and they didn't lean on threes. And they were pushed, honestly, more than I thought they would be by the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
We thought they'd be better off for that series. Turns out they were not.
Turns out
it changed. It changed nothing.
No.
They went into game one against New York and jacked up 60 more threes, and they continued to let it fly
there
all series
zero
long.
Carryover.
And they shot their way out of the first two games. So they learned nothing from that Orlando series. I thought they would. I thought they'd be better off for it. That was wrong.
Yeah, no, that didn't have any impact. And I thought, especially the first two games where they shot 25 of 100 from three, where, like, they just beat a team by not shooting the three, not relying on it. So would they go about it differently? Like, would they ever stop? And no. In fact, it made the juxtaposition even crazier because you're like, they just had a game where they didn't make a three and they only took six in a whole half. And they found a way to win that game in that series. And then in the Knicks series, they're like, just let it fly. We'll shoot our way out of it. Let's go right back to what we do.
Awesome.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EAR-POD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.